Good evening. This is Robert Young. For just about a year now, we've been trying to figure out what to do about the control of atomic energy. We know that ways of controlling it must be worked out, or it will destroy us. Now we are nearing a crisis. Will we have the wisdom and the courage to do what must be done to save ourselves, or must we go down to destruction?
Four horsemen rode across the land, and their names were War,
Pestilence, Famine,
Death. And to these now is added a fifth horseman, the threat of the atom.
The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Fifth Horseman, written and produced by Arnold Marquis. Here is the plain truth about the awesome significance of atomic energy and the hour of decision which faces mankind. Starring Robert Young, this is the fourth in the series titled Crisis.
Haven't seen you down here to the club for quite a while.
No, I've been pretty busy.
Writing?
Oh. How's it with you?
Oh, busy. You know, got to turn over an honest dollar.
Yeah.
Well, here's to you.
Yeah.
Well, Warden. As I live and breathe.
Hello, Smug.
Oh, Smug, how are you?
Charlie. Well, Warden, what are you doing with yourself these days? Writing something new?
No, just vegetating.
Good thing to do if you can make a living at it. I've got to work.
Hey, that's Hackamore on the air, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is.
Hey, Mibbs, turn up the radio so we can hear Hackamore, will you?
Once again, the United Nations Atomic Commission has adjourned after a long wrangle over the matter of international control. It's a deadlock. It must be obvious to every thinking American that the matter of international control is now a dead issue. It is now 1948.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
He's got a big following.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
What he says is not only nonsense, it's poison.
Who, Hackamore? I'll take his word any day.
Oh, Hackamore's all right. Who's he hurting?
The atomic bomb was developed in this country. All the technologies of working with atomic energy were worked out by us and paid for with our money. It's time that we realize this. We can be thankful that we still have in this country Americans like Gardner Bellows, who has missed no words in his announcement that he will lead the movement against any further negotiations. Let the deadlock in the United Nations Atomic Commission prevail. This is Hackamore saying, good night.
He's wrong.
Well, we've given the other countries every chance.
That isn't the point.
Even offered to build atomic plants everywhere that might need atomic power. Promised to give their scientists and their engineers the know-how so that they could take over the plants and run them themselves. And all we ask in exchange was the right to make sure that these plants are not used for making bombs. Didn't we offer to let them check our plants the same way? And what do? They suspect us of a sinister plot.
They distrust everybody and are afraid of us.
Well, what do they want us to do? Destroy our bombs and get nothing in exchange except their word that they will not make any? If they distrust us, what reason have we to trust them?
I think he's right.
This is not the kind of a problem you can settle by getting tough. What we need is truth and persistence. We've got to have international cooperation. It's that or the destruction of all of us.
Warden, you got yourself all worked up into a lather. Here, I'll buy you a drink.
No, thanks. People today are trying to escape the terror of the bomb simply by not thinking about it. But the bomb is something you cannot escape. It's here. And so are rockets and jet planes and other means to carry mass destruction across continents and oceans. And if we don't somehow get together on international control, it's not just others who are going to face destruction, it's us as well as them. That's why Hackamore is wrong. That's why Bellows is wrong.
They draw an awful lot of water.
Frankly, Warden, what do you think you or any of us can do about it?
We've got to see that the United Nations Atomic Commission does not break up. Some nations are suspicious that our plan for international control is a conspiracy to keep American monopoly of the bomb. We know it's not so. We know the American plan was worked out by distinguished scientists, business executives, educators who had no other aim but to save all peoples from disaster. It's the consensus of their opinions reached after months of study and separate
groups. Yeah. But, Warden, what can we do if the other nations refuse to play ball?
We must keep fighting and rallying our people and all the peoples of the world. The people of the other nations must know that the American people is behind it. Did you hear Congress interrupting its squabbles over OPA or labor and solemnly and unanimously proclaiming its determination to see the plan through, as unanimously as they acted on Pearl Harbor Day? I didn't. Did you hear political parties, unions, professional organizations all supporting the plan and petitioning the Congress and President of the United Nations to act on it? I didn't.
And if we don't?
An armament race will come the like of which the world has never seen. And in its wake will come regimentation and despotism and loss of freedom everywhere. And then atomic war will come. And the world we know will be destroyed.
What do you wish of me, Mr. Warden?
You were one of the scientists on the atomic bomb.
I was one of several thousand.
Well, yes. But you have the kind of information I need.
For what?
To make people understand that it's the 11th hour.
More than a year before the first atomic bomb was dropped on Japan, we scientists came to the conclusion that the only hope for the world was to establish international control of atomic energy when the war was over. Everybody who has given thought to it since then has come to the same conclusion. It was accepted by the men behind the McMahon bill in Congress. It was accepted by the State Department in the Lilienthal-Acheson report. And it is the basic premise of the Baruch proposals of the United Nations.
That's what
But there is grave danger that no agreement on international control of atomic energy will be achieved.
But you scientists have not given up.
Far from it.
Then don't you think that international control could be worked out if people understood?
With Hackamore and Bellows out to fight further negotiation, the outlook is very grave.
If we can get powerful public support behind us, then the United Nations Commission will have to meet again to try to break the deadlock. If we cannot,
then the representatives of the other nations will go home, and the armament race will be on, irrevocably.
I need your counsel and your help.
You have it.
You wanted to see me?
Yes. By this time, Mr. Editor, you know what I stand for.
We've carried stories of your activities and of the activities of your new organization.
Mr. Editor, your newspaper has taken the position that the proposals made to the other countries in the United Nations Commission put the other nations on the spot.
Well, certainly, if they don't accept our plan for control, they will clearly show that they are thinking of aggression. And if so, we might as well use our superior strength.
Did it ever occur to you that the atomic bomb has made the strategic position of the United States worse than ever before?
Worse? I don't quite get your reasoning, Mr. Warden.
This is what we plan to discuss in our mass meeting at the auditorium tomorrow night. Will you come?
Well, no. I've got a lot of important things to do. But I'll send a reporter.
Listen to the hand they're giving you.
Why does a clever guy like Warden get himself tangled up in a thing like this?
Lots of people here who don't agree with him.
Shh. Listen.
Let us clearly understand that we are not in a superior position because we have the bomb.
Our advantage is only temporary.
It'll take 20 to 60 years for them to catch up with us.
Some nations may catch up with our present production in 5 years.
Yeah. By that time, we'll be way ahead of where we are now.
The only way to use our present monopoly is to go to war within the next year or two. If we are to use our atomic advantage, we must first mobilize our armed forces and put industry back to war work. Are you people ready to go to war within the next year or two? Even Gardner, Bellows, and Hackamore recoil at this thought.
He's going to get himself into trouble.
Hackamore will skin him alive.
The solution is not war. The solution, and the only solution, is international control. If atomic bombs are not eliminated by international control in a few years, we will be in greater danger than other nations.
Who are you talking for? Whose axe are you grinding?
He ought to stick to his writing.
Well, that's what I always told him. He's too idealistic.
Idealistic? Well, that's a nice word for him.
Hey, we better get out of here.
He's going to hear about this.
What Wharton said last night at the auditorium was not so much a matter of being right or being wrong. It's a matter of what Stephen Decatur said. Our country in her intercourse with foreign nations, may she always be in the right. But our country, right or wrong, even if Warden is right about the United States being in greater danger than other countries, by publicly stating this, he has placed us in a detrimental bargaining position. Do not be concerned about that, Mr. Warden. The lack of understanding of our dangerous situation is even worse.
This is Hagamore. The auditorium angled around just last night when Warren again maneuvered himself into a corner by suggesting that we prostrate ourselves before the world. The amazing thing is not that Warren, a naive idealist, would urge international control, but that so many of his listeners last night at the auditorium apparently believed him. We foolishly went through the business of disarmament after the last war. We were the only ones to take it seriously. We scuttled our battleships. Are we going to make the same mistake again by scuttling our atomic bombs? Again, I say, I stand with Gardner Bellows, who has pledged himself that...
I've got to go and see Gardner Bellows.
He will not see you.
I can't believe that he's willful. He simply doesn't know.
Many other men who worked on the bomb spent as much time with him as I did. But he was more bigoted, more dogmatic when I left than when I came.
Well, this is different. You're a man of science. I'm just... Oh, I'll get it.
Yes.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Wharton.
Yes?
I've just been listening to Hackamore on the radio.
Yes, I heard him.
Oh, you did? Well, I just wanted to say that I was at your meeting, and I heard you talk, and you're right.
Well, thank you.
And if there's one man who's misinformed in this whole setup, it's Hackamore.
Well, you know what he thinks of me.
Yes, but Gardner Bellows is the real danger. But we're behind you, every man in my organization. And we'd like to know if you mind our quoting you.
I don't believe I got your name.
Sleazy, Lud Sleazy.
Lud Sleazy.
We've been supporters of yours ever since you started. It's either international control or nothing.
That's right.
Well, thanks for talking to me. Goodbye.
Oh, just a minute. Just a minute. Oh, he hung up.
Someone you knew?
No, he said he was at the auditorium the other night and that he just heard Hackamore and called up to say that he thought we were right.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask him the name of his organization.
Did he mention Bellows?
Yes, he said Bellows was the real danger. I think he's right. We've got to get people to realize, to understand that...
Well, of course, Warden. I'm glad to do anything I can. Within reason.
If Bellows and Hackamore succeed, the negotiations of the United Nations Atomic Commission will not be resumed. The delegates will go home. An atomic armament race will start. And this civilization of ours will be destroyed.
Well...
We've got to do something, and we've got to do it now.
And, what do you propose to do?
Organize to make every person understand what we're up against. And then petition Congress and even the president...
Well, let me know, Warden, when you get going, and then we'll see what we can do,
So it turns out, just as I predicted, I have here in my hand documentary evidence of what I say. A letterhead of the God, as radical an organization as ever came across the board. And listed among the board of advisors is our friend Warden. These letterheads have gone out by the thousands with, mind you, quotations from the speech Warden made at the auditorium the other night. Let Warden now go before the people and tell them that he is for international control for the sake of saving us. I say again, as Gordon Bellows has said, let us hold on to what we have. Let us recognize such false prophets as Warden for what they are. This is Hackamore saying, good night.
I have come to speak for Mr. Warden because he would not speak for himself.
Warden's quarrel is with Hackamore and Gardner Bellows, not with me.
But your paper printed what Hackamore said as if Hackamore were right.
Well, here's a photostatic copy of the letterhead with Warden's name on it and with a quotation of what Warden said that night at the auditorium.
Mr. Editor, I was with Mr. Warden that night he was called and asked if he could be quoted. But he never gave permission to be quoted. And even if he did, what he said happens to be right.
Why is his name on the letterhead?
He was not even asked about that. But even the fact that they quoted him and used his name without permission does not alter the truth of what he said. We are in mortal danger, Mr. Editor.
Well, I'm willing to be convinced. But again, I say your quarrel is not with me. It's with Hackamore.
All I remember is that he had a name something like Skeezy. I couldn't find a trace of him.
What did the people you talked to say?
Well, they said that one of their members had turned in the quotation from my speech, but they wouldn't tell me who he was.
We've got to go and see Hackamore.
I'm not concerned with what he says about me.
That's not it. Hackamore's trying to discredit you. If he succeeds, nothing you say will mean anything.
I know.
Ever since we who worked on the bomb have been fighting for international control, there have been some who have slandered us as traitors or naive idealists. But we have gone on, for there is nothing else to do if we are to survive.
Let's go and call on Mr. Hackamore.
Down in black and white here on the letterhead. And that's enough for me.
You know that Mr. Warden did not give permission for his name to be used?
But he did say what's on that letter, didn't he?
Yes, I said it, Mr. Hackamore, and I mean it. It's time you understood that we cannot prevent any nation from making atomic bombs. And once everybody has atomic bombs, having more of them cannot save us from being destroyed.
We've proved that we can outproduce any nation on Earth.
That means nothing. If the United States can be destroyed by 1,000 atomic bombs, what advantage do we have because we have 10,000 bombs?
Now, Mr. Warden, you're wasting my time.
I've waited a long time to talk to you, Mr. Hackamore.
I'm not interested in further conversation with one who obviously has placed the welfare of foreign nations above his own.
Wait a minute. I'm not through, Mr. Hackamore. I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time.
I'll have to ask you to leave.
Come on, Mr. Warden.
It happens that...
Well, please leave, Mr. Warden.
Well, hello, Warden.
Hello, Charlie.
If you ever try to come back, I'll throw you out.
Having trouble, Warden?
Why,
wait a minute. Let it go.
Hackamore's been giving you a bad time, huh?
Hackamore has no understanding of what he's doing.
No, but you know, when you tangle with men like Hackamore and Bellows, you have to expect
Bellows,
that...
Look, will you go and see him with me?
I?
No, you.
Yes. Yes, I'll go with you.
You know, I'd like to help in this thing myself, Warden, but you know how busy I am.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bellows is not in. No, not today. No, Mr. Bellows is not seeing anyone today. Sorry. Mr. Bellows will be tied up all day today and tomorrow. I'm sorry you've come so far, but you cannot see Mr. Bellows.
Of course I've heard about you, Mr. Warden.
Yes, well, I...
And do I understand that you, sir, were one of the scientists on the atomic bomb?
Yes.
Hackamore wired me of your position.
I see.
Is there any reason why we should sell ourselves out?
No one suggests that we sell out to anyone. It's not a question of goodwill or humanitarianism or being suckers. It's good common sense. For in an atomic arms race, some nations will have several advantages over us.
With the bomb in our possession?
Yes, with the bomb in our possession, Mr. Bellows. First, there are fewer critical targets in other nations than in the United States. Since we do not plan to start a war ourselves right away by bombing other nations, there will only be war after the other powers of the world have bombs too. And this will not be long. Then we will discover that the nation that is the best target is at a disadvantage. And secondly, whether we like it or not, the government planning in some foreign nations makes dispersal of cities and industries much easier than in the United States.
So you endorse regimentation. The very things that Americans dislike most.
I endorse nothing of the kind, Mr. Bellows. But other nations are thinking in terms of dispersal of their cities and industries right now. Are we?
You forget, Mr. Warden, that we have the bomb. The other nations do not.
Not yet, but they will. And then what will we do? Will we train secret agents to plant atomic mines in other countries to avoid the risk of interception of planes or missiles? Will we establish some kind of Gestapo at home to track down atomic bomb saboteurs who could be sent here?
Are you suggesting that we establish some kind of Gestapo in the United States?
We'll have no choice. But the greatest disadvantage we will have if there is another armament race is this. In some powers, because of the nature of its government, a small group can make sudden decisions without delays due to vacillations of public opinion or for any other reason. In the start of an atomic war, that is all important. Are we prepared to put such power into a small group of men in this country?
Do I understand that although we alone have the atomic bomb, that we have more reason to fear it than other nations?
That is right.
Gentlemen, I've been very patient with you.
Mr. Bellows, in the atomic age, the United States is one of the most vulnerable nations on Earth.
That's like saying that because we're strong, we're weak.
Most of the population of the United States is concentrated in 85 large cities. Our great industries are concentrated in about a dozen localities. What do you suppose would happen if these concentrations were hit all at once with hundreds or even thousands of atomic bombs?
Other nations are facing the same danger.
They're not as badly off as we are.
We've been equal to every emergency so far.
Who would order people to leave our cities? Congress? And what do you think this whole matter of dispersal would do to our standard of living and our free institutions and our personal liberties? If we are to avoid this disaster, we must have international control, Mr. Bellows.
International control is one thing. Security is another. The Senate and the House Committee on Atomic Energy have agreed that no atomic secrets can be revealed to anyone until Congress so decides. This, Mr. Warden, is also my view. And it is also my view that I am in no way disposed to sell out any of the sovereignty of the United States. I am a realist. We must keep and develop our weapons and keep the right to use them when and how we wish.
Gardner Bellows has marshaling all possible strength to prevent reopening of United Nations negotiations on international control of atomic energy. Warden is fighting to rally public opinion to force a reopening of United States negotiations in order to break the deadlock on international control. Bulletin. The United Nations Atomic Commission will reconvene on Thursday in an effort to work out some solution of international control. Observers see this as a crisis, the last chance to prevent a rearmament race that will end an atomic war.
In town, eh, Warden?
Yes.
Here you put up a whale of a fight to keep the negotiations on international control from breaking down.
Well, they're in session right now.
Hello, Warden. I heard you were back in town.
Hello, Charlie.
I see that guy that used your name and quoted you walked into the paper and admitted the whole thing.
Yes.
Oh, that's Hackamore on the air, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, Mibbs, turn up the radio.
Headquarters, that the decision to adjourn has been reached. So it's all over. The negotiations on international control have fallen through. And the delegates from all the countries are leaving. So the matter of international control of atomic weapons is dead. The United States will not have to yield one iota of its sovereignty. We have the bomb, and now if the other nations of the world want to...
Hey, wait a minute, Warden. Don't turn off that radio.
This time you'll listen to me. We can start saying our prayers right now. All of us. Our last chance for peace and freedom is gone. The race of destruction is on. For a short while, you can play at being free, independent, and secure. Soon you'll be regimented and guided and watched at every turn. All to protect you from the terror of atomic war. You'll hide underground and you'll live and die where you are told. Then one day, the war will come. And the cities all over the world will crumble in dust. Epidemic will ravage the countryside. And our civilization will be a thing of the past. Don't blame extreme nationalists like Hackamore, nor isolationists like Bellows. Blame yourself. You had all the information offered you, openly and freely. But you and all the apathetic people, anxious for pleasure and easy life, did nothing. Now go home and look around you at everything you love. It's only a matter of time before atomic bombs start exploding among us.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard Robert Young in the fourth program in NBC's new series, The Fifth Horseman, written and directed by Arnold Marquis. The plain truth about atomic energy and the hour of decision which faces mankind. Next week, at the same time over most of these stations, the National Broadcasting Company will present the fifth program in this series titled... 0-1. A story of what happens in a world heading for atomic war. The music was composed and conducted by Thomas Peluso. Fifth Horseman came to you from Hollywood. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.